Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Absolutely glorious out there. We're recording this, the old Glory Days podcast, and it's a glorious day out there, I tell you. Hopefully it's like that for the weekend, because PJ, right, he's got duties to perform. There is children's birthday parties to be organised over this weekend, I can tell you.
There is, yeah, children's birthdays, a second-year-old's party. Yeah, it's a second-year-old parties. Second-year-old parties. What is actually wrong with my drunken head?
Should I take it from here? Basically, yes. It's his twins' birthday over the weekend, and they'll be two.
And they'll be two, yeah.
Terrible twos. The terrible twos. Us.
They're about to start, and they've actually already started, but it's not because of them. It's because, apparently, because my missus is American, a child's party or a children's party is very different to them than it is to me, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm Irish. I am very much of, you get it, you all meet, and the kids are basically a pain in the arse that you try and ignore, leave them at it, get them tired, put them to bed, and then, woohoo, daddy's gonna open a beer now. And you all do that, and you make a night of it, and the kids are asleep.
Jeez, are you gonna go that long? How long are you expecting the kids' bit to last?
Well, I was hoping like half an hour. And then...
So you're planning on opening your beer at about 12:30?
I was thinking something like that would be about all right. We're having people over at 1 o'clock, so maybe 1:30. But Kelly is like, no, that's not the way it is. We don't do it like that. I was like, right. What do you mean? She goes, it's for the children. I was there, well, yeah, I know it's for the children.
So
like,
how that's long does she reason. Want it to go on for?
So she just wants, first of all, she doesn't think adults should be doing a big party afterwards or anything. It's actually a children's party.
But surely,
what's the point in that?
Surely you have to reward yourself after all the stress.
Yeah, and she wouldn't be against having a few beers or in there and all.
Right.
But she doesn't like, she's like, most people that come have to have kids and all, she'd be thinking.
Right.
I'd be like, what's that got to do with it?
Well, in fairness, like for a kids' party, you generally do try and have some of their friends over.
At least people
roughly their height, if not their age.
Just make everyone walk around their knees.
So
there will be some kids there, but I wouldn't have thought you invite people based on the amount of children they have. You think you'd invite people based on the amount of children they don't have and minimise the noise rather than anything
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. I mean, to be fair to you, you could take that approach of share the load. Come here. If you any kids, no, Grant, you're in. You can take care of them for about an hour. You any kids, you're in as well. You can do 2 to 3, right?
Yeah. And what do you do in your shift, PJ? I'm done.
I've been looking after them for years now.
Who do you think? I should make them survive this long, didn't I? I have realised as well there's a solution to a kid problem is adding more kids. You do think it makes it worse. It actually does make it easier. I know that sounds mad.
Right.
But if you throw more kids in a situation, they do occupy each other a little bit more, you know.
There is a sort of critical mass, isn't
there? Yeah, there is.
You get to a point where they stop annoying you and they start annoying each other
in
a garden away from you.
And you stop hearing crying and all. You just kind of just
becomes
the
sound. White noise.
White noise and everybody's grand. Yeah. There is that point, But it is gas. Everybody comes up to you and they go, they're like, two. Where'd the time go, huh? Bet you didn't see that coming. I'm like, are you fucking joking? It's been the longest.
Every day of my life.
It's been the longest 2 years of my absolute existence. The longest. To the point that I honestly don't know if I can remember my life at all before it, It's like, where did that go? Feels like so distant. I just think they're two and they're tiny, but they're the worst behave 15-year-olds in the planet. That's how it feels.
Yeah. Because that's the weird thing is that, terrible twos, that phrase, the terrible twos, terrible twos, to be all up to all sorts. And you trying to tell PJ that the worst is still coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's...
What do you mean, the terrible twos? You mean they're over? No. Terrible twos are about to begin.
But I mean...
What's the first two terrible... You know how fucking
hard that was? And then you're telling me it's only... And now there's a new phrase. After the terrible twos, you get into the three-nagers, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Three-nagers.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, I'm only here. So you get... Three-nagers are a whole different thing then, because they have their voice and they start, calling you names and everything. I'm not ready for being called. I gave up internet gaming because an 8-year-old shot me in the arse playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And called me a big Irish tick.
Yeah.
That was enough for me.
And in fairness, I mean, part of my job is to make sure I call you names on a regular basis. The least thing you need is to be going home and getting it off your kids.
Getting called a doo-doo head or whatever it is kids call each other. You're a big poo. You know, whatever kids, you know, they call each other names that it's just, I love that, actually. That was one thing I used to always get wrong with my friends' kids and everything. You know, you go around to them and you say, what are you doing, you big poo-poo head? And they'd be like, you know, they get proper insulted. You know, kids are going,
really?
I'm not a poo-poo head. Oh, you're not really. You called me a poo-poo head. Or you'd say, you know, you smell.
Yeah, but you'd imagine, in fairness, you know, when they're 18, they should be getting able
to. They should. You're right, yeah. You're right. I bought him another point. Told him I was sorry.
All right, go on then. I'll get this round.
Get over yourself.
You big poo-poo head.
You big poo-poo head. You did it again.
Actually, that's one of the baddest things as well, is the fact that there's like 6.5 years between us in terms of age, right?
Yes, yeah.
So there's about 6.5 years between us in terms of age. And the weird thing is, PJ this weekend is going to celebrate his kid's second birthday.
Yes.
And in about 2 months' time, in fact, less, probably 6 weeks-ish time, right, my eldest son is getting married.
Oh, yeah, and he's already had 2 divorces.
No, he has.
I know.
That is mad.
The different ends.
Talk about doing it at opposite ends of the scale.
Oh,
I was admittedly young. You were, well, I don't want to use the old word.
I'm bloody ancient. I'm bloody ancient. I am. I'm going to be. You remember the way there was always one kid in school had a big smelly elfla as a thing? It was like, you always look much older than the other dads.
That's
going to be me.
Our mum, right? There was always somebody like who was, you know, and somebody say, like, I saw you with your granny yesterday.
Yeah.
That wasn't me granny.
That's not me granny.
That's me ma.
That's actually me dad. He's just so tired he can't put his trousers on anymore. He wears a dress down to the school gate.
He just wears a very long shirt.
He just wears the longest shirt, yeah. That's just, yeah, that's me dad, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
That'll be me, yeah. That'll be me. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. They'll be mortified.
Steve-O, Miley, Granddad's here. Yeah. If you don't mind.
What makes you think I'm their grandfather? You know. Because I have my teeth in my pockets, is it?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's mad, isn't it? It is mad. And I honestly don't know which way is better, or there probably is no better way.
Exactly, because, yeah. They'll each have their own.
No, your way is better. I mean, honestly, what am I
talking
about?
You're only saying that now.
You have your life. Like,
no,
you know.
Yeah, you're only saying that now because, obviously, you know, now I can go for pints with the lads and whatever, you know what I mean? They've grown up and all of that sort of stuff.
I tell you,
all those years ago, you wouldn't have necessarily been saying that. But anyway, that's beside the point. Whereas it's, in fair, although, I suppose you could argue that you got everything out of your system.
That's the other point.
And then, so in theory, you're meant to have hit an age where it's like, you know, you're kind of...
calm down.
Yeah.
More settled.
No expectation for yourself.
Exactly.
So you're selfless.
Selfless.
You know, prepared to just, you know, it's all about...
Yeah, but I'm a selfish bastard.
The only trouble is, your energy went with it.
My energy went with it. Yeah, that's right. You know, that's the problem. Everything goes with it, you know.
Like
then,
that wild life you led for that first 50 years or whatever, or 48 years. You know what I mean?
I know, yeah.
It takes its toll.
It took its toll. The body isn't great, you know. And I'm still not really, you don't feel like a grown-up. I suppose you weren't a grown-up. You were a young man.
Yeah.
I'm just like you. I'm like, whatever age you were, I don't know, when you had your kids, 15 or whatever. I
was 20, I think.
I'm 15. I'm just a 15-year-old with dicky knees. You know, that's the whole thing.
Like, right, yeah.
So it's mad thinking about it. And like, you won't. You're done. Your kids are not. Yeah, I mean, your kids are going bald and everything. They're all grown up. You don't have any work to put into them. Like, my kids haven't even grown their hair yet. You know, I'd be in the house genuinely.
One of these days, we're going to be out with the lads. And they're going to beat the living shit out of you.
I know they are.
For all of the slacking.
I know they are. You can't hear an old man. I didn't even take my glasses off.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
It is bad, yeah.
You can't hit an old man. You were calling us old men, you big tick.
Yeah, you big poo-poo head.
Yeah, you big doo-doo. Don't call me a doo-doo head.
Man.
And the thing is as well, like, so you're done. So when they call around to your house, you're in your 50s, they call around to your house, they're in their 40s, and you're doing your thing, and it's all chill. I will be living... as a 65-year-old man with teenagers, prime teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be absolutely nuts. Like, I will be so detached from what their world is at that stage. And they'll be a pain in the hole. All teenagers are a pain in the hole, right?
No, but the only advantage for you is you are never a conformist, to be fair.
That's true.
Just mean, like, I don't really think that, you know, the place being... Although, it's kind of weird, because you do... Even though you wouldn't get freaked out by, you know, the place being a mess or whatever, there are times when you... Like, the, you know, when you were going through your one cup, one saucer...
That's... I am, plate phase. That was my... That was the time.
You know what I mean? Literally, that's wash, why it, I love wash it up when you use this.
Wash it when you use
that might be a struggle with teenagers.
Yeah, that will be a struggle. I will struggle with that, definitely.
Because as it is, like, you can turn around and say to Milo, look, I don't mind you putting your dinner on your head, but at least wash the plate.
At least wash the plate. At least I can wash the plate straight away. It won't be hidden in a bedroom. You know, all of that sort of carry on. Yeah,
that'll be weird.
Yeah, that will be.
I was trying to think, did I ever do that? Did you do that when you were, like, you know... Like, you'd find crisp papers and stuff outside of your bed.
Oh, jeez, I was terrible. I was the most disgusting teenager on the face of the earth. Oh, my God. Everything about me was disgusting. From head to toe. Oh, yeah. I swear to God, I was filth. Absolute dirt. I barely washed myself ever. My teeth were yellow. I had spots all over my face. So many spots on my face, the lads used to call me BMX course face. Honest to God. And I had the pube on me body. I was like, I was one of them baldy sort of fellas. I swear to God, I was narrow in parts. I had the mad curly hair. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Very, very, yeah. Oh, and then when you get, one day, you know, when you're a teenager, you get a hold of yourself. You don't leave the room for about 6 months. And, you know, there's all sorts going on.
Yeah.
It's a time I wouldn't want to live again. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. Teenage years are very hard, I think.
Yeah.
You know, for everyone involved. And you're an arsehole. You know, it was terrible to my parents as well, because teenagers are just...
That's terrible.
You know, they're so self-absorbed.
You never appreciate anything.
You don't appreciate that. No, and everyone's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Except for you and your friends.
Exactly. You always think you know differently.
Yeah,
You're doing it right. Everybody else had done it wrong since time began.
Everyone's only a dope caveman and ticks. And you and your mates are the only people that know what's right and going on.
Yeah,
and you really believe it. You know, that's the problem.
That's part of
it. You've no humility yet.
I wonder, has anybody ever worked out what a... I know they do those surveys, right? And they'll try and tell you what a sweet spot is for having kids. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The time in your life and everything, right? Which, let's face it, that's complete cock.
Complete nonsense.
Because, you know what I mean? Nobody knows what anybody's life... You know, assuming that you're going to be in a certain place, in a certain career, in a certain whatever, at a certain age, is rubbish, like.
And if you did that survey in 1950s, they'd say 21.
Yeah, exactly.
And you do it now...
Yeah, and you should have all your kids over with.
Yeah, by 27. Don't want to be left on the shelf, you know? You don't want to become the weirdo bachelor. Living in the basement with his landlady, you know, they'd say all that.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays, I think it's quite acceptable. It's always tougher on women, these things, you know, because the body clock and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but I think it's probably into the 30s, I'd say. I'd say the recommended age be well into the 30s now. But all of that. But then,
surveys were all around kind of like, you know, when, you know, you had things like your career sorted or your house sorted.
Nobody has
sure,
that
nobody's
anymore.
Gonna have a house.
No one's ever going to have that. You know, if you're coming into your 30s now, you're never going to have that. Most likely, it'll be almost unattainable.
Yeah. Chances are you'll have to wait for your kids to grow up, get a job, and then if you all chip in together, maybe you can all buy a house.
Yeah, you have to live in communes. That's the way it is, isn't it? Yeah,
oh,
that
man.
Is the way it is. That's the way forward, if you want to raise kids.
I assume then part and parcel of your agreeing to hold a birthday celebration for your twins this weekend is the fact that, like, literally, you're the only parent who got really excited about the idea of the house being full of jellies.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
Most
other people are kind of planning, like, well, I suppose we better get some of that. And maybe we should get some fruit. I mean, they probably shouldn't be eating, you know, all rubbish, like high sugar and stuff. And, you know, maybe we should, could we do some healthy snack, carrot sticks or something?
Yeah, I'm like, carrot sticks? Even fucking rabbits don't eat carrot sticks. I mean, get real, you know what I mean?
BJ was literally like, do Haribo have a warehouse or a wholesale outlet?
I am like that. I am. Kelly's been on to me. Get the sandwiches in. And I've got the sandwiches in. I had to get a lawnmower. I had to buy a lawnmower for this bloody party. I had to buy a lawnmower.
Jesus Christ. What sort of party?
Yeah, yeah.
How big's your car?
Get everything done. Yeah, jet washing all things. Everything, you know. Getting the
Wow.
Like. and I got no decorations or anything, but I got sandwiches sorted, the whole lot. And then every time we're talking, it's like, she's like, okay, what do we need? I'm like, cocktail sausages and jellies. She's there, okay, right. And we need to get, yeah, people in there, and then we'll have to get, I think,
yeah, we better check any food intolerances, so
I,
or whatever.
I'm making,
yeah,
cake.
Don't forget the jellies and cocktail sausages.
I'm like, better get a vegetarian quiche. I'm like, and the cocktail sausages and jellies. He said, yeah, and the cocktails, and we have to get, oh, we'll get some balloons in, and there, yeah, and the cocktail sausages and jellies. And my sister texts me, do you need me to bring any food? Is there cocktail sausages and jellies? So I'm hoping there's such an abundance of them,
yeah,
that we'd never run out, you know, yeah, for weeks after.
Plus the fact you can do that whole thing of like, no, come on, you've had enough of them now, put that down. I don't want you getting sick.
Yeah, you're going to get sick. That's
more for me when you're in bed.
That's disgusting. Put them down. Straight into the pocket.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. I'll have that. I mean, yeah, no, leave them to one side.
Yeah, get away from there. Yeah, you have to be careful with that.
They'll have to go in daddy's special drawer.
I have a friend of mine. He caught his kids, and he was very upset about it. He caught his kids smoking hash. You know?
Right.
Oh, gee, teenagers. So they were only like, you were young now, like 14 or 15 or whatever. And he was like, that's absolutely disgraceful. And he did that, take it out of that, put it in his pocket. And they went to bed, and he smoked it. And he says, he was blown off. He says, he blew his legs off himself. He says, He said he hadn't done it for about 30 years. He said he was crawling around the back in the garden, putting leaves on his face and everything.
Oh my God.
Having panic attacks and the whole lot.
Oh my God.
I was there, you big Aegis. But then again.
That must have been a great conversation with the kids next day.
Yeah.
Now, come here. Where did you get that stuff that I caught you with yesterday?
Yeah.
Right. And.
Give me that drug.
Are you going to be buying any more of it?
That's terrible. Give me that drug dealer's phone number. I want your mother to have a word with him.
Exactly. Are you going to be buying? Will I have to confiscate it off you again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because we should just go to. I think you should just leave it at the front door.
Now, be honest. Have you any more of it? Hand it over. I laugh at that, but the simple fact is, I plan on eating so many illicit jellies confiscated from kids over the weekend that I will be walking around my hands and knees in the back garden, sticking cold leaves on my face.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
You know that a regular feature on this show, of course, has been the Friday feature that we do, that we have done, do, and still continue to do. Anyway, so generally speaking, you know, the idea behind it was very specific. We were literally going to fry things that traditionally weren't associated with frying. That was where it started, wasn't it?
That was it, yeah.
That was this kind of the gist of it. We thought, to be honest with you, we thought it might be, might go on for a couple of weeks, maybe.
Here we are, almost 2 years later, more than 2 years later. Yeah. And we've fried things and come up with new recipes and new ways of doing things that nobody'd ever thought of before.
Well, we've stolen them off other people's things, but that's not
the point. Groundbreaking, Jim. We've been groundbreaking things.
And the weird thing about it is, right, that we've had chefs on, you know, proper chefs and
proper
stuff.
Chefs from proper restaurants and hotels. Absolutely. And all, yeah.
And the weird thing about it is, right, one of those chefs actually suggested that we do a cookbook.
He goes, seriously? He goes, I'm telling you, what you're doing here, there's something to it, and I really do think you could do a cookbook, and yeah. I think it would...
Now, this is despite the fact that we openly admit that, you know, most of what we do, it's a rarity if it works. Well, certainly the way we do it.
Well, that's our unique selling point, though, Jim.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
And so we were actually genuinely toying with it, PJ and myself. We were actually genuinely kind of talking about, you know, what way we would do it and, you know, things you could call us and, you know, like the ones that worked or whatever.
Yeah. And that was it. That was what it was going to be. The ones that worked. The ones that, you know, because so rare they do. But when they do, they're marvellous and they're a bit unique. We have it. We're going to release a cookbook.
We were all set.
We were all set. And then I've come in this morning and the first story I read when I got here was cookbooks are on the slide, nobody wants them anymore because everyone's just getting their tips off social media. So really? Just in time to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, Jim. It looks like
it's such a PJ and Jim thing to happen, isn't it? Just when you're set to go, come on, do something great, let's do it. Yes, that's not a thing anymore.
That they go, no.
Yeah, social media's destroyed the cookbook, it's all over.
Yeah. Why would we want pictures of your barely functioning foods from the air fryer when
well,
we
can get
just
it for free off social media?
Put any word we want into Instagram and get multiple recipes that, and they show us how they work them in an instant.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the time that, you remember the time you released your Christmas single?
Yeah, there's no need to bring that up.
After Christmas.
It was an accident.
I know, but I'm just saying, it's again, this kind of falls into that. We just get to the point where we're going, you know something, we're good to push the button. Let's do this. Let's have conversations. Let's make this happen. Oh, look at that.
Look at that.
It's over. Nobody's doing it anymore. Forget it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and sometimes people do these things. They come up with these ideas and they go, right. And then just as they go to do it, someone else does it. We're like, oh, God. We came up with this idea and it turns out literally everyone has done it to the point that it's saturated. And I'll be honest with you. I'm a bit upset about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if everybody gets to do a cookbook, well, I did an actual book last year. I did an actual book. I wrote it and everything.
Yeah.
And I got nominated for an award and everything. I was sitting there at the awards night. I won nothing.
Yeah.
And then the very next category came up and a cookbook won it. Some lad taking pictures of burgers got an award and I didn't get one. I was furious.
Did he even make the burgers himself?
I have no idea. He probably just advised on the burgers.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. So, that you know, this so was kind of going to be, this was supposed to be the award winning book.
We were foiled again.
Oh, absolutely foiled again. And foil is actually something that we were going to put in. We're going to put a perfectly foiled burrito into our cookbook. Yeah.
Who's this? Is Trucker Paul, is it? Yeah, I was wondering, would our cookbook have had proper temperatures and times? No, obviously not. We don't want to be doing standard cookbooks. That's, whatever, chefs and everything. It was going to be the ones that worked.
I love that.
You know.
As if anybody has ever, in the history of frying, like a frying pan, even said, no, the cookbook says number 5 for 11 minutes or whatever. You just look at it. You know, you just look at it. When it's ready, it's ready.
You know something?
What?
Maybe there's an insight into why our stuff doesn't always work.
What are you talking about?
You just look at it.
You just look at it.
Mind you, it is a bit
air
like
air fryer. Every single thing you put in an air fryer, 12 minutes, it's done.
Right.
Everything. You don't need any instructions.
Shep's been on to say that they feel we should pivot at this stage, right?
Right.
So now that we've established that social media has ruined our chances of producing a cookbook, that we should pivot to a TV show, a cooking TV show.
That's a good idea.
The ones that worked. But then you'd have to do them.
No problem. So we've done them once already.
Yeah. But would you be confident they'd work again? I mean, we got away with it once.
Honestly, Jim, even better if it doesn't. There's loads of cooking shows out there.
Right.
Loads of them, right? They all go the same way. Here's the ingredients. Here's the food. Everyone tastes at the end and they go, brilliant.
Yeah.
Our one would have fires and all.
That's true.
Be fires.
It would be a very different type of show.
Yeah, an ambulance and medics on standby. People dropping over because they've been poisoned because we use medicine containers to measure everything. You know.
We have this conversation just the other day about all the fakery that goes on in cooking
shows.
And everything. Things being painted and things being whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Real.
A real cooking show.
And by the way, that throwaway comment, in case anybody assumed that PJ was making a joke there when he said people who being potentially poisoned by using cough medicine.
No, that happens. Yeah, that happens. Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah.
When he attempted to make a cake.
And I used me ma's containers for a medication. Because I had nothing else to measure out the
people
bits.
People were getting
remember that?
Numb mouths.
Everybody's
and
mouth went
people
numb.
Going, yeah, kind of.
Remember that? Your man Mike that works there going, I can't feel my face. What's after going on? I was there, oh, Jim, don't say that.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
It's actually amazing, to be honest with you, how often we end up talking about dating-related stories.
A lot of the time.
When neither one of us have been anywhere near that scene for a long time.
That does not mean we're not love gurus. You know, it doesn't mean that's a good sign, right?
Well, that's true, isn't it? They
love
do
gurus.
Say those that can do and those that can't teach, don't they?
And anyway, you know what I mean? No need to get rusty. So we're going to teach us, give us some of the tips. A man called Michael Lockwood has said he has 10 red flags to look out for with men in particular, right?
For men to look out for? Or for
women to look out for if they're dating men. I suppose for anyone who's dating men. Yeah, sorry, you're right. Anyone who's dating men. And he says he should know because he's a divorced single man. I'm not sure how that makes him qualified.
Yeah. I have to wonder about that. It's like somebody saying to you, you know what I mean, somebody being a relationship coach and they say to you, and I mean, I should know, I've had like dozens and dozens of failed relationships.
Honestly.
You go, yeah.
Now that's why I
look at, get it.
That's why I would take advice from you first, you know, Jim, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? A fella who's so rusty, you know.
Yeah.
His joints squeak or whatever. I don't know, whatever. But so if your man is living in his mother's house for more than a couple of months, this guy says that's a major red flag. I actually don't think it is, not in this day and age. If you're of a certain age, if you're even around your 30s now, she can't buy anything.
Right, okay. Different circumstances.
It just gets to a stage where you go, yeah, no, my man's living in my gaff now. You know, we've just swapped. We did, you know.
By the way, is this guy now, where is he writing this? Because, you know, if he's writing for one of those magazines that appeal to kind of, you know, the equivalent of the, what do you call it, wives?
Yeah, it's a, well,
are they highfalutin? Are they kind of, you know?
No, this is definitely not
Aimed.
Mind
you, I suppose if you're living in your man's.
This is not
you're living in your man's house, okay, point
as
taken.
As highfalutin,
point
man.
Taken.
Definitely not. This is not aimed at that.
Right.
Yeah, so it says as well, if he drives an expensive car, but he rents an apartment. I mean, that's really judgmental. What are you supposed to do? Live in the back of the car.
And hang on a second, that makes no sense either. Sure, there's loads of parts of Europe where they choose to rent. You know what I mean?
You
they
have
actually,
to.
It makes sense.
You just
sense.
Have to, yeah. It's just
exactly.
The way it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So this, don't
anyway,
worry, don't.
Surely that's a sign that he's got even more money if he can afford to rent and have an expensive car.
Exactly. Divorce single dad advice not really coming out well here at the moment. He says if he wears more than one ring on each hand, more than one bracelet on each wrist, and more than one necklace on each neck. I mean, that's a crazy one, right?
Wow. Then, that's, ooh. If more than one necklace on each neck, then he's a keeper.
I'd say if he has two necks, he needs to be starting to worry. But there you go. So he says, over-accessorizing is a crime. Like, it's like, that's a huge red flag. It means it's all bling. It's all show and no go. And that you should be careful.
Okay, so that's ruled out the chance of Daisy can rap her anytime soon.
It's been me anyway. As someone with two rings on my right hand right now. If he's overdressed for any occasion, that's kind of the same thing. If he spends money on you without regard to price and you think he can't afford it, red flag.
Well, obviously. What does that mean? He spends money on you.
Sure, who can afford anything now? I mean, that's like, I mean, nowadays it's like a tenner nearly for a pint some places. You'd be there going, do you want a pint? Oh! No one can afford pints.
God, you got really high pitched there. That one hit home, didn't it?
That's his home. That's his home, Jim. That's his home.
Right. Okay.
I do not like the man who made this list. So far
there hasn't been one decent one on it.
Yeah. If he says that he has a job but he cannot articulate exactly what the job is, then that's a red flag. Well,
absolutely not. I mean, I know I was going to use you as an example.
Yes, exactly.
There are lots of people who don't know what they're doing.
Nobody knows what I do. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do most of the time.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Lots of people in jobs
what
don't
do you do?
Know what
you know
doing.
Yourself, a bit of this, a bit of that, kind of have a laugh when I can,
yeah.
Hang around with Jim. He does the monkey stuff, you know, I do the... You know, I don't know what I do.
Yeah.
All kinds of things. Sometimes there's a book, sometimes there's a podcast, sometimes there's a show.
And anyway, what's the chances that they might have a fantastic job, it might be well paid and it might be very important and it might be everything. Doesn't mean you'll understand what they do. What
exactly.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what my missus does.
Well,
she said
go.
It loads of times, but I don't understand it.
Well, exactly.
And then it says, if he talks about himself more than he talks about you, that's a red flag. All right, okay. There's two things come from this, right? There's two things that can come out of this. As simple as this now, right?
That's another one that's as a hurt me badly.
Straight away, I know more about me than I know about you. So what surface material are we going to choose? That's ridiculous, right? So there's only two things that can come out of this. Either this guy, Michael Lockwood, is a very judgmental buffoon who doesn't know what he's talking about, which is why he's a single divorced dad, or else all these red flags mean nobody should ever date me.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at
InsureMyVan.ie. It does feel that at the moment we are in prime holiday. It does feel like the roads are particularly light and there's less, it feels just less people around. To me, anyway, at least it feels like this is still a peak holiday time for people that, you know, have been away or whatever.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And it is, I suppose. But when you go away, you want to have your breakfast, you know, you look forward to certain things on holiday.
Oh.
And a lecturer, a psychologist, Dr. Rachel Woods, has described what the perfect breakfast buffet looks like.
Okay.
Yeah, so when you're going away, how to enjoy the perfect breakfast buffet. And what you should put on it and all of that, you know. So I can see Jim McCabe salivating at the prospect.
Well, I'm just wondering why the simple answer to that isn't just everything.
Well, because
what would you like on your breakfast buffet? Everything you have.
Well, that's what it is. She would say you're ruining the whole day. She would say you're overfilling and getting ahead of yourself, and that when it comes to lunchtime, you may have wrecked your day. So the perfect one is mushrooms, tomatoes, beans.
At what point will you be joining the meat into this?
We won't be.
What?
You can add up some fresh fruit when you're finished. Cleans the palate, makes it a little bit easier to relax about food choices for the rest of the day. You can add that on, but that's
mushrooms,
it. That's the
tomatoes,
one.
And beans.
Yes, that's the perfect one. You'll enjoy your breakfast. You'll feel satisfied. You'll be ready for lunch. It's not altogether unhealthy.
I won't have enjoyed me breakfast, though.
Yeah, well, she
I'll
says you will, and
going,
she's a psychologist.
Is there no sausages and restaurants?
Well, the solid psychologist says you don't want them.
Oh, does she now? And yeah. She knows what I want, does she?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
She knows what's best for you. Yeah, Dr. Rachel Wood says that's the way to do it. So the days, as far as she's concerned, of turning up at the breakfast buffet and saying, oh, well, you know.
And not even an old pastry, I think, to take you off with you.
A
croissant, aren't you?
But everybody knows pastries are for your pockets as you leave a buffet. So you have them as for the rest of the day, you know.
Would that be
a pastry into your shirt pocket so it looks like a hanky as you leave.
There's no way that if you were at a breakfast buffet and the selection was, yes, we've a full selection. We've got mushrooms, tomato and beans. Help yourself.
Well, yeah.
There's no way you're staying in that hotel.
Well, you know, it's the way, you know, why some religious people say, if loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Yeah.
And I think this might be the food example of that, you know, where you kind of go, right, I don't, if that's the right thing to do, I don't think many people really want to be right.
Yeah.
And what you want to do, why would you want to be right when you go on holidays anyway?
I'm all for, you know, people having choices. Naturally, you know, if you want to do the continental thing with your cheeses and your cold meats and everything, knock yourself out. If you want to do the fruit and the whatever. But I mean, you do have to cater for those of us who do like, are slightly carnivorous.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course you do.
And I mean, you know, the idea of that. Now, the only thing about it is, having
maybe
said
you
that,
smell a sausage.
Having said that, I suppose there is that argument, and let's face it, it happens all the time, about whether or not your sausage and rasher, as you and I perceive it, is quite the same.
Yeah.
Depending on the country you're in.
I know. There's nothing more disappointing, isn't there?
Especially sausages.
Yeah.
You get away with bacon, but sausages just.
Nothing is disappointing. Oh. I remember being out in Eastern Europe and thinking I was getting sausage and chips. You want to see the size of the thing that came on the plate. I don't even know what colour it was. It's like this bright orange, half yellow beast with a face. It was unbelievable.
That was the sausage.
It had legs and all nearly. It was the
Are you sure? Are you sure there wasn't just a local creature that crawled up onto the table?
Maybe.
Was it definitely meant to be eaten?
Maybe it is. Maybe that's it, the sausage. And then I ate it. Circle of life, Jim. Sometimes you don't even know what you're at. Definitely smelled like a sausage, but it was the strangest thing I ever saw.
Brilliant. That's absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, it was
and
weird.
That can be disappointing. You
it
know,
was
you,
greasy and dry at the same time, yeah.
You know, you tried the sausage on the first morning and you realise, oh no, now I'm going to just have to have bacon and eggs now and whatever.
And you start looking at what they eat in that country for breakfast and then you get all, I don't know.
Do you know
like
what I could
clams
never
and all.
Do you know what I could never understand about the breakfast buffet thing? You know, like you and I, right? I mean, civilised people.
Yeah,
civilized.
That's what I think most people would describe us as.
Absolutely, civilized, sophisticated people. We would go up in stages. If we were in the mood of starting off with the fruit and yogurt or cereal or whatever the thing was, we'd probably do that. Then we'd probably go up for what we'd consider our main course, or you know, full Irish equivalent or whatever it might be. Then we might go up for what we might consider dessert, some pastries and croissants and whatnot. Right, that's a civilized way to do it. You know those people who go and on one plate take all the little bits of everything they're going to have.
Yeah.
So on the one plate, you might have a sausage.
Yeah.
But you might also have, I don't know, fruit and then pastries. And it's all on the one plate.
Weird, isn't it?
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what type you are. What are you trying to do? Show off or something? I want to have a sample of everything. It's not tapas, you nitwit.
And the other, actually, do you know something? Apart from holiday, when you go to a hotel buffet, is that, you know the way carvery is a thing in Ireland, right?
Yeah.
A great carvery. Can you not do that with breakfast? Is there no place where you can just rock up and kind of just walk along the line and
get
take
five slices of a huge sausage?
Well, whatever. I mean, there are breakfast cafes and everything. That's grand. But there's no place you can kind of do the carvery equivalent at breakfast time. Go along and take your own kind of stuff and. No?
Oh, yeah, a load of hotels do that. Like, to help yourself to buffet, is it?
No, if you're staying. But, like, for people who aren't staying in the hotel, can you just rock in from anywhere? And go along and help yourself to the, pay for it obviously.
Well, yeah, oh yeah, no, you can. Yeah, you just have to get someone else's room key. It's very easy. I do it all the time.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
A regular listener to the show, in fact, you wouldn't even have to necessarily be a regular listener to this show, but anybody who knows PJ at all, of course, will know he is one of the country's biggest doggy lovers.
Well, I would have thought I was.
Yeah, one of the big celebrity doggy lovers out there. In fact, I mean, I'd argue maybe the biggest. He was, let's face it, at one stage, he was the face of dog poo in Ireland.
I was Mr. Dog Poo. He was.
He was literally...
I was Mr. Pick It Up PJ.
Was Mr. Poo. There is no two ways. For dogs.
That's true.
Nobody is... So I would argue he's the greatest of them all, right, when it comes to celebrity doggy lovers. But even he, with his vast knowledge of all of those things, didn't realise there was a publication quite like this.
I didn't. I couldn't believe when I read this morning. Sabrina Carpenter says she's absolutely over the moon about one publication. And I guess everyone's like that. Some people want to be on the Late Late Show all their life, or they really feel they've made it if they go on Conan O'Brien, or if they get Time Magazine.
But how many people ever get to be a cover star? You've probably done it. You've probably been on the RT Guide or something already.
I've done a couple of covers.
There you go. Yeah, you see. Yeah, like mere mortals like us would know that's far beyond us.
But I never did anything like Sabrina Carpenter's dogs. Apparently Vogue magazine has a sister magazine called Dog magazine, D-O-G-U-E, and it's apparently the biggest magazine for people who are into celebrity dogs and like what celebrities do with their dogs. And if you want us to keep up with the most exclusive pet care trends that there is going around the world and all of that business, and Sabrina Carpenter's dogs this month are on the cover, and she says it was an absolutely amazing achievement for her dogs to get onto it. Says it was a very long day for them. They now understand how exhausting it can be to be famous. They said they had they recounted over the phone what a laugh the day could have been, because she wasn't able to be present on the day. She had her own thing to do. I think she's been a bit tongue-in-cheek and taking a bit fun out of this.
What, you mean she's not serious, saying she chatted to her dogs on the phone and they said they had a great time?
Well, I've done that. I have to admit I have done that.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, I'd be like, hello, hey, Dad, it's Daddy. I'll be on the phone. It's Daddy on the phone. Or looking at them on WhatsApp video, and the dogs are just like, look at me, look, Daddy's going to bring you home some sausage. Yeah. I'm one of those.
So Dog magazine. The Vogue for dogs. So it is about celebrity dogs. Now, it's not your average run of the mill dog. No ordinary pooch is going to make it on.
Well, not onto the cover. No. Previously, Don Johnson has been on the cover with his dogs. This is just but Sabrina Carpenter's dogs. It's just the two dogs in a Thelma and Louise type fashion shoot. They're in a miniature Mercedes G-Wagon. Posing. Great photograph. Have to say, great photograph.
Yeah. Wow.
All that. And John Johnson.
How come
and his
we've never heard of this before?
And just so I give you an idea of what else is in the magazine. You know,
obviously.
Spring Styles of the Leash was on the John Johnson.
Spring Styles off the Leash.
Yeah, yeah. There's stories like Vogue unveils their second annual digital cover. There's Wave Riders make a splash at the World Dog Surfing Championships. That's a story. That's in this month.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Glamorous pet beds that you didn't know you needed listed. Those are in it. And they're all very... I mean, honestly, you and me do not have beds as good as these ones. And from sidekick to Hollywood starlet, Root Beer, the puppy's Hollywood moment. Read all about the puppy Root Beer and the...
So they do doggy interviews as well as doggy fashion, doggy things to do.
It looks like that. Looks like there's profiled pieces and all that, yeah.
Does it have a big readership?
It's part of Vogue, so it must be big.
Exactly. Sounds quite glossy. And I'm assuming that, you know, there'll be a lot of doggy-related advertisers who pay a lot of money to have their...
Big
wares
time. And I'd say they're choosy about who gets in. This is like, welcome to the world of dog fashion and beauty is the headline. So I doubt you get in with a bit of pedigree chum, you know, as an advertisement. You'd have to have, like, you know, something exclusive, like very fancy harnesses and, you know, those leather shoes that dogs wear in New York when the ground is very cold.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know,
so have you unlocked a new ambition now?
To get my dog onto
to have your dog
Vogue,
in Dog.
I really would love to be on Dog magazine with my dog. I really would. I know that sounds ridiculous and pathetic.
Or just in Dog magazine on your own.
Yeah. Big furry head on me.
Yeah.
Man found that looks most like a Rottweiler. Makes it into the magazine this month, yeah.
Imagine. Who knows? You probably have some doggy tricks you could perform, potentially.
I do, actually, yeah.
better not say much about them. That could take a whole different route.
Ah, no, it's not as bad as it was. Not since you toilet trained me, anyway.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.